Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is March 22nd, 2024. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Witchway Magazine. So let's get your day going with a little magic. So we are talking today about a new cryptid that the news picked up on. This is from EtOnline, EastTennessean.com, and Cryptids of the South, The Grafton Monster. And this was published March 6th. We once again return to what seems to be the birthplace of Appalachian monsters, this time the Grafton Monster of Taylor County in West Virginia. Featured in both Mountain Monsters, Season 1, Episode 8, and in Fallout 76, this creature has been one of the lesser-known cryptids, but it seems this monster has gained fame in the search for new cryptids. And in July 2024, the Grafton Monster will join an elite group of non-humans with festivals just for them. According to West Virginia News Station, the Grafton Monster is unique because it does not fall within the humanoid category. It is more akin to the shapeless ogre, with a clay-like shape akin to Mr. Gumby. This beast has been at home in the mountains since its first sighting in 1964. This creature is well known for its gray skin and curved shape and has been described by witnesses as roughly 9 feet tall. Despite its bland physical appearance, it wouldn't be the kind of creature one wants to run into while alone. The first sighting came from a Robert Cockrell, a local reporter, and his account was quickly followed up by others who backed up his story, despite the reception of his article in the local newspaper. His account was treated as a joke upon its publication, while others stepped forward to corroborate what the writer had disclosed to the public. June 15th and 16th of this year is set to be the inaugural year of the Grafton Monster Festival, hosted by Black Cat Rookery Bookstore in West Virginia, home to the Grafton Monster Museum, which is located inside the store. So yeah, I guess if you've always wanted to go to one of those cryptid festivals, how cool would it be to go to like the first ever of one? So yeah, I figured you guys would like to hear about that because I want to go to one. I want to go to one so bad. I want to go to the Mothman one, and I want to see his little statue butt, you know, and that's all. That's all I want. I feel like that's not a lot to ask. That's all. I want to go see Mothman butt. Reasonable. Reasonable wants in this world. So anyways, if you're into cryptids and you're really into like this the cryptid festival thing, this could be a super cool one to go to. I actually would go to this if I weren't obligated during this time already. Ugh. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, March 22nd. The waxing gibbous moon moves from shake your groove thing, Leo, to tie it up tight, Virgo, today. Here, the moon opposes Mars. We might be a little emotional with these vibes, as we may be feeling like the world is against us. Ultimately, it's just our ego talking, as the world is presenting the situation as it is, rather than as we'd like it to be. We often feel as though we are the main characters in our own stories, and we are. But every now and again, we have a harsh reminder that the rest of the world is moving in and out of our private world, and we have to make room for that too. So, try not to take the imposition of reality personally. If we let go of our ego a little bit, we'll realize it's just a reality check. Your daily moon mantra is, a bad day for your ego is a good day for your soul. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2...
So we are back, and today is my encyclopedia day, which where we find just a random topic to talk about. But this one is actually inspired by Charmed, so it's not as random. But we were watching an episode of Charmed in the Patreon, as we do on Wednesdays, and I couldn't help but notice there was a demon, quote-unquote, that kind of popped up. It was given really no fanfare, not a lot of information or background, but she mentioned about how she ferries souls to the other world. And I was like, it's the ferryman. It's the ferryman. So I thought it'd be cool if we talked about Charon or the ferryman. And I am super psyched because I've always been really fascinated by the ferryman, especially after I was really into the movie Ghost Ship from like the early 2000s. And there was a man. I'm going to spoil it. It's like 20 years old. Can we just all agree that we're allowed to spoil 20-year-old movies? Like, come on. Anyways, Ghost Ship, where it's like souls were trapped on a ship, like these ghosts. And there was a man who went to take like regular people to go visit the ghost ship. And his name was Jack Ferryman. And he was the ferryman. And I thought that was so cool. So I've kind of been like into it ever since. So let's talk about the ferryman. So this is from Britannica.com. Charon, in Greek mythology, the son of Erebus and Nyx, whose duty it was to ferry over the river Styx, souls deceased who had received the rites of burial. In payment, he received the coin that was placed in the mouth of the corpse. In art, where he was first depicted in an Attic vase dating from 500 BCE, Charon was represented as a morose and grisly old man. Charon appears in the Eros fans comedy Frogs, which was 406 BCE, and Virgil portrayed him in a book in 1st century BCE. He is a common character in the dialogues of Lucian. And in mythology, he was known as Charon and appeared as a death demon armed with a hammer. Eventually, he came to be regarded as the image of death and the world below. As such, he survives in Charos and among the angel of death in modern Greek folklore. So he's kind of become the like angel of death. Greek legends and myth states. Charon is an iconic figure in Greek mythology for the minor god or a demon, but he was the ferryman of the dead in the overworld and is often depicted on his skiff transporting the souls of the deceased. So, as with most children of Nyx and Erebus, Charon was said to reside within the Greek underworld, and his role for eternity was to act as ferryman of the dead. The idea was that Hermes, or another psychopomp, would escort the newly deceased to the banks of the River of Pain. Here, the skiff of Charon would await, and Charon would take the deceased across the river as long as they could pay the fare. So this is another reason why it's like really common lore to leave coins for the dead. Like when you think of Samhain or Halloween, a very common thing would be to leave coins for your loved ones who would visit you, or if you did like a silent supper, leaving coins. And the idea is because they need the coins to pay Charon, the ferryman, to go back to the other side. Charon's fee was said to be coinage, either like a Persian denens or an obolos. Neither coin was particularly valuable, but in order for the deceased to have it in their possession, such coin, it was meant that the deceased had to be subjected to proper funeral rites before the coin would have been placed in their mouths. So I don't know if the funeral rites themselves were important or if that was the only way they could get the coin, you know? So those that could not pay Charon's fee would wander aimlessly along the banks for 100 years of the river, with their spirits found as ghosts upon the earth, perhaps haunting those who had not undertaken the expected funeral rites. So again, this is why it's really popular to leave money for the dead so they can pay their way to the other side. So yeah, those who could pay the ferryman of the dead would be safely transported across the river into the heart of Hades realm. The deceased would then stand in front of the judges of the dead, who would pass judgment on how they would spend eternity. It is often said that Charon was the ferryman across the River Styx, although this was later altered. The myth was changed a little bit, for of course the River Styx was just the most famous river found in the Greek underworld. So traditionally, Charon was portrayed as an elderly man, found stood upon his boat with a staff or a pole or double-headed hammer in his hand. There was nothing frail about Charon, though, for he was imbued with enormous strength. And with this strength and weapon in hand, he would ensure that no one who had not paid could make it onto the skiff. The underworld was, of course, the land of the dead, but crossing the river was also the primary manner in which the living could make it into the realm of Hades. The living, of course, were not supposed to be in the underworld, and Charon was certainly not supposed to help them, but a significant list did make use of Charon and his skiff. This is really fun. I like the idea of, like, humans, scheming with Charon to be like, just let me go look. Let me go look at the underworld. And Charon being like, I can't. But then, like, they scheme, and I love it. So Psyche, prior to Hypothesis of the Princess, was thought to have paid Charon to allow her to cross into the underworld. Psyche at the time was in search of Eros, who had fled from their bed when Psyche looked upon him. It is also generally assumed that Phaeus and Prithsos paid Charon for the crossing of the river, which they sought to abduct Persephone from the underworld. These Greek names are intense. Theseus thought that he was a pretty cunning figure, much like Odysseus, and so the Greek hero may have duped Charon into transporting him to the underworld and didn't pay, but certainly other figures managed to make Charon transport them without payment. Orpheus would charm Charon with his music as he sought Eurydice, although Charon would only allow Orpheus a single passage based on the melody played. Trojan heroes were said to persuade Charon to allow them to pass. So I think this is really fascinating. Hercules, though, did not seek to charm or pay Charon for his passage across the river, and instead Hercules found the ferryman to transport him. Hercules did this either by wrestling Charon into submission or else simply by intimidating the minor god by frowning at him. Later writers, particularly in the Roman period, would tell that Charon was punished every time he let the living into the underworld, and in particular for allowing Hercules into the realm of Hades. Charon was said to have been punished by being in chains for a year for allowing Hercules into Hades. Whether the deceased during this period simply waited upon the banks or whether someone else operated the skiff of Charon, it's not really elaborated on. So when Charon was in chains for the year, we don't know what happened to the dead. Like, did someone substitute? We don't really know. But I don't know. I just as like a storytelling tool, This is fascinating to me. The idea that there's a fairy man who, like, connects the underworld, like, the living and the dead. And that, like, throughout all of mythology, some people have managed to, like, scheme their way, I think is just, like, really, really funny. Let's see. So the Greek Charon as the boatman of the dead is an idea which may have been influenced by Mesopotamia and Egyptian mythology, where there, too, the underworld contains rivers which hinder the progress of the soul. In Greek mythology, Charon is the son of Erebus and Nyx, and his name might have originally meant fierce brightness. Again, Charon's job was to transport the souls of the dead across the river. Which again, whether it was the river Styx or the river Charon, it depends on like which text you look at. But yeah, I think it was it's just really cool. I think this is a really cool story. I like really innocuous depictions of like the dead, and I think this is a really good one. According to worldhistory.org, Charon, sometimes known as Charos, continued to be a figure of importance in medieval minds, and he appeared in many works of Renaissance art and medieval literature. Charon features in the Inferno section of Divine Comedy, written by Dante. And more recently, Charon is the origin of the Charontos figure in Greek folklore, a sort of angel of death who some people believe appear just before a person dies. And finally, the largest moon on the dwarf planet Pluto has been named after Charon, an entirely appropriate pairing since Pluto was, in many respects, the Roman equivalent of Hades. Love. Yeah, it's just really fun. I just really, really enjoy this myth for some reason, more so than normal, I think. Usually Greek and Roman myths don't do much for me. I'm definitely not someone who finds myself particularly enamored with any particular Roman or Greek gods, goddesses, demigods, or whatever. But I like this one. This one's fun. It tickles the same part of my brain that banshees and gargoyles tickle. All right, witches. We are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give out some shout outs to some of our wonderful Patreon members. First, we have Senri, who fancy, spiffy, tropical fish. Shannon Howell Barnes, you glittery, thoughtful leprechaun. Jennifer DiMucci, you tenacious golden wendigo. And Casey O, you powerful, fancy gnome. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And that's all I've got. Oh, no, we have a card pull. I'm so sorry. We have a card pull. Our card is the Two of Diamonds from the Jane Austen tarot deck. Adaptability. Charlotte makes the best of her choices in Pride and Prejudice by marrying Mr. Collins to avoid becoming a financial burden on her parents. Ooh. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything we talk about today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. Then we'll talk again next week. Okay, bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.